This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Now it's time to talk a little bit about the New York Knicks, who have been just fabulous over this 8-game streak. It's even had Gordon Tom Thibodeau being positive. Here's what he says about coming together.
Right now, we're putting it all together. We're challenging shots a little bit better. The containment, our bigs are really making good decisions in the restricted. That's helped. I think guards are doing a better job of squaring up the ball. So it's probably a compilation of steady improvement from the start to where we are now. And we still, there's still a lot of things that we have to do better. So we can't be satisfied with it. There's a lot of room for improvement.
Gordon, we've talked about this Knick team a lot. Over the past, during this streak, this looks like a totally different team. This is not the same team. We thought that they had turned Tibbs out. It's year three. Previously, year three has been the years when, you know, it's been an issue where he's lost teams. They haven't played as well. He benched his favorite guy in Derrick Rose. And you're just thinking, this team is not going to go well. I was talking about maybe a play-in spot, maybe. And now they just went, they just rattled off 8 straight wins, and they look like a totally different team.
They looked like they were on the road to nowhere, and then out of nowhere came this winning streak. Yeah, I mean, you have to obviously talk about and give Tibbs credit for the changes that have been made to the starting lineup, cutting down the rotation, taking guys who were just not doing it defensively and removing them from the equation and putting guys in there, especially in the starting unit and Quentin Grimes, who have gotten the job done, and this team has looked like a completely different team. Now, maybe they've benefited a little bit from some teams being banged up, but if the Knicks were banged up, nobody would be complaining about that, getting wins against them. So, yeah, I mean, 8 straight wins, that's nothing. It doesn't matter who you're playing. 8 straight wins is hard to come by. So let's see if they can keep it going tonight against Toronto. I saw that there are some concerns that Quentin Grimes is, I think he was listed as doubtful for tonight because of an ankle injury.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like seeing that because now all of a sudden that toys with the rotations, toys with the starting lineup. But no, I mean, this was a team that didn't really seem to be going anywhere. And now all of a sudden they've gotten you, I don't know if believing is the right word, like if you believe in them to be this team, but it certainly is a whole lot better than it was looking like a couple of weeks ago.
It is, and that's a great point. I don't know that I believe in them any more than I did. I can watch them better. They're more watchable than what they were. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. And I am intrigued, though, and it's curious as to how this one thing came about, Gordon. We have been talking forever and ever, and we've been taking phone calls forever and ever. Tibbs has got to play the kids. Tibbs has got to play the kids. And what did we say, Gordon? You know, it's Tom Thibodeau. He's not playing the kids. He's going to go with the veterans. Well, Gordon, he's played the kids, and they've made the difference in the aspect of, especially in the backcourt, where he's had, you know, Grimes and McBride, and what they've been able to do from a defensive standpoint is they've been able to do a better job closing out on some of the three-point shooters, and their versatility in being able to defend guys in multiple positions has improved their game tremendously. And as far as Grimes is concerned, he's not only helped you on the defensive end, but when you've had the double team and teams have tried to take the ball out of Jalen Brunson's hands or take the ball out of Julius Randle's hands or RJ Barrett's hands, he's left wide open and he's been hitting the three at a very high rate. So he's made teams pay for the double team, and that's made the team a little better scoring-wise and given them some cushion.
Yeah, well, you said, you know, when he's never going to play the kids, necessity is the mother of invention. Because
mm-hmm. Yeah.
What they were doing was not working. So, yeah, I mean, Grimes, the beauty of him is that he does not need the ball to be successful. And he mm-hmm. allows, you know, now RJ Barrett to not have to worry about, you know, defending tough scores, right?
Right.
That's Grimes's job. And mm-hmm. it's no surprise that as Grimes has kind of got into the starting lineup and has played more minutes after the injury, that all of a sudden RJ Barrett's looking more like the RJ Barrett we thought we were going to see starting the season. So it's all good right now. I still don't, you know, in terms of do I believe in the team, I still don't, because I don't believe and Julius Randle as the number one guy on a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
But if he can get back to the way he was playing 2 years ago, which he has kind of done so far, it at least it allows you to kind of dream that maybe this team is going to be better than that team.
It does. And the big piece, which is why the Knicks got penalized for a 2025 second-round pick, the biggest difference on this team clearly has been Jalen Brunson and what he's brought to the table. And no surprise, this just in, we knew for years that the Knicks needed a point guard. But what they were able to do with Brunson is they were able to get a point guard who's also can create his own offense. And so you like how he's gotten the tempo and guys have learned how to play alongside him. He's learned where guys want the basketball. He's done a nice job in getting everybody involved. And Gordon, where you're seeing games that were lost because nobody was running the show, right? Where do we go late minute? Where do we go? Not only can he put people in position, but he can also go to the basket, get fouled, make the basket, and go to the free throw line and hit and complete a 3-point play. So he's been the biggest difference in this team. And as you said earlier, whether it was tampering or the big signing, it was well worth it for what he's brought to this team.
Yeah, I mean, think about what the reaction was when the terms got an the Knicks overpaid, the Knicks, you know, doing what the Knicks do, and all the criticism, he's too small, he can't play defense, it was just a one kind of year, he doesn't play at that kind of level. He has been worth everything, and you would think if he were going to struggle, the time he would struggle would have been to start the season, right?
Yeah.
New team,
yeah.
Big contract, has to live up to it. That has not been the case. He's been fantastic. He's been everything that you could ask for and more.
There's no doubt about it. And the other person last night who I've been waiting for to see what he was bringing to the table has been Emmanuel Quickley. Gordon, Emmanuel Quickley has not really shot the basketball well for this year and part of last year. Last night might have been the best game he's played since his rookie year, in the sense of he scored, he went to the basket, he was able to hit the three consistently, which is something he has not been doing for a while. And so for him, now that he's the first guard off the bench, he, in essence, is now, he's taken over what Derrick Rose's job was, is to be the first guard off the bench, to keep the energy going, push the basketball, be able to be that scorer. And so for him, if he can continue to play that way for you know, continually now, coming off the bench, giving them consistent score. Okay, he may not score 22 points,
right,
but if he can keep the ball moving and hit the open three and then look for other people and still try to improve himself defensively, this is going to really help that offense coming and help the bench, which I think Tibbs has done a nice job in leaving either Randall or RJ with the bench group so that you have a consistent scorer there, so that you're not giving up the total lead if you're handed the lead, or you're given the opportunity to extend the lead if you're trailing.
Yeah, and I think that that's his role, right? Like, I know at the end of last year, some people were saying, oh, look at how quickly he's playing. Maybe he's the starting point guard. He should be the starting point guard. I think that bench role is the right role for him right now. It kind of keeps the pressure off where he doesn't have to be a scorer, but he can contribute in other ways defensively as well. So, I mean, he hit his shots last night. I mean,
he did.
If you're going to get that version, sign me up.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I will take it. I will definitely take it. Now, of course, you know, there's some people on this Knicks team that they're going to have to make some decisions on and possibly move. Obviously, Evan Fournier, and I'm not missing him. I'm not missing seeing the name of the back of his jersey,
right,
chasing offensive people around because they got by him. I'm not missing him. And obviously, Cam Reddish, who's been a yo-yo in this in this offense for a while. Obviously, these are guys that are out of this rotation. They were 11-man rotation and went down to 9. But Gordon, they can't argue, and we mentioned Derrick Rose earlier. So Gordon, they can't argue because, I mean, the team is winning. How you can't complain about playing time when the team is winning without you?
Well, you can complain about the individual things, even if the team is winning. If you're on the Jets, that's allowed. But generally you can't, right? I mean, that's the thing. It is working right now, and credit to the Knicks. They have a lot of money invested in Evan Fournier, right? And it feels like in past regimes with the Knicks, they would have said, well, we're paying this guy $18, $19 million. He's got to play. And they've not done that. They have put him on the bench. And I think that's where he's going to remain until he gets moved someplace else. So It's all well and good to spend the money on this guy or that guy, but if they're not performing, it has to kind of be based on, it has to kind of be a meritocracy where if you're not performing up to the standards that the team expects, you have to move off. And credit to Tibbs for doing that and cutting down the rotation, and it has worked.
So let's hear from Julius Randle. Julius, what's been the key to success during this 8-game winning streak for your team?
It's playing for each other on both ends of the floor. Obviously, we've gotten our defense, you know, cranked up and, you know, helping each other out on that end. And offensively, we've been doing it pretty consistently all year. So just got to stay with that. Keep playing for each other. Keep helping each other out and, you know, putting winning first.
So I know you got to be happy because when we're talking defense, that means that Tom Thibodeau is happy and that means he's not yelling as much, right? Let's talk about defensive rebounding.
You know, you got a formula for winning. And for us, any years past, it starts on the defensive end. So I think that's really what's contagious. And you know, everybody's playing unselfish, playing for each other. But as long as we continue, like I said, to defend and rebound, that's been a big thing for us, too. I think in the early start of the season, the games we were getting out-rebounded, and that's just not who we are as a team. You know, we're not a middle-of-the-pack rebounding team. Since I've been here, we've been pretty dominant. So stops, rebound, and then offensively, we just, you know, run, get easy shots, play for each other, and it's easy.
And Gordon, it's always good for a team to get back to their identity, right? And that's really what this Knick team is. We look at the scoring and, hey, we're happy with scoring. That obviously you have to score to win. But this team hangs his hat, and that's what Tom Thibodeau was brought here to do, was to make them relevant, to put in some defense, some intensity with this team, and to rebound and to give one shot and then find a way to get better offensively. And they've done that. But the priority has been defense and rebounding. And listen, Julius Randle's right. That's been the biggest difference in this team is the fact that they've defended well. They've limited teams to one shot and they've been able to push the basketball, which is something that people have looked for a long time.
And they've been killing people on the offensive boards.
They really
have. I mean, every night they kill teams on the offensive boards. And I don't know what the second chance points were against Golden State last night, but it had to be significant because I think they out-rebounded them on the offensive boards like 12-4 or something like that. So that's actually, you know, a big part of that. Mitchell Robinson being healthy and
yes,
at least for the time being, that's great. So it's going to be a question, you know, like where do you see this team – what's your target for this team? I think coming into the season, my target was, hey, let's get into the play-in. They can get into the play-in. That's a successful season. Now, at least you can, I guess you could leave open the idea of making it to the playoffs, either as one of the top six seeds or winning the play-in. And as we get closer to the trade deadline, the trade season is opening up here before too long. So the Knicks do have pieces that you know you're not getting anything out of. It's just whether or not you can get anything that really moves the needle in the process.
Well, you're going to have to sacrifice a couple of your draft choices, which you have a plethora of. So you could match match Fournier with a draft choice and send him somewhere and, you know, match Reddish and maybe a player and the draft choice and send them somewhere, or you combine some folks. I think the fact that you have draft choices, Gordon, helps you to get players. Now, yeah, it didn't help you because you didn't want to give away all of them for Donovan Mitchell. But you do have some in their teams who don't have any draft choices and they would, you know, draft picks, and they would love to pick up a couple of picks to improve themselves. So I think that's where they are. They have some leverage that they can improve themselves and get better with. And so that's where you kind of want to see them make that move. The question you have is, and I think we talked about it earlier, is do you trust Leon Rose to put a package together that's going to bring back what you need?
Yeah.
That's going to be the question.
The range of outcomes with Leon has been really all over the map. I mean, from that first off season with Kemba and signing Fournier. Now, he's had good moves, right? The Derrick Rose move they made at the time, that was a great move that really spurred them and that winning streak that they had as they finished fourth. Obviously, we'd all love the Jalen Brunson move, but I don't know if I necessarily want him tinkering as much as if it's like a clear-cut move. Like, yes, that absolutely makes the Knicks better right now. Make that move. Whereas if I have to look at it and weigh the pros and cons, I'm out. I don't want to have to imagine how the deal can work out. I want something that is a clear-cut difference maker, and then by all means go for it.
Yeah, and you were right. The Knicks out-rebounded the Warriors last night, 14-4 off the offense.
I mean, it seems like every night they're killing people.
Yeah, and it was 47-29 overall.
Yeah.
Which is just crazy. And the other thing, too, that you notice that was really evident, I think, during this winning streak, Gordon, is the ball is moving on offense, right? You're not seeing it. You're seeing less of Julius Randle dominating the basketball or R.J. Barrett dominating the basketball. You're seeing the ball move a little bit. As a matter of fact, when you look at Hartenstein, man, he passed a bunch of different passes last night. He was rolling.
He made passes last night that Zach Wilson would have been proud to make. I mean, he was firing in all cylinders, length of the court, everything else. So when it's all click, all you need to know about how things have been clicking was that Tibbs last night sat down and stopped yelling.
And that, you know what? That never happens. And Julius Randle talked about that. How rare was that, Julius? We'll hear Julius Randle. He's talking about how rare.
Speechless, right?
He's speechless. He couldn't believe Tom Thibodeau sat down in the final minutes and just didn't say a word. He sat down like he was on. He sat down like he was thrown out of the game.
Yeah.
Here's what Julius had to say about that.
You know, that's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy because Obi told me, and I was like, "Wait, what?" He was like, "I've never seen that." Tibbs' third season here. I've never seen him sit down. So that was crazy. He's probably so uncomfortable. He didn't know what to do.
Even the Knicks are playing so well, Gordon, even Tom Thibodeau had nothing to scream about.
I would figure that in that case, he'd just start, "I want a soda," you know, like, "Get me some popcorn," you know, something.
Do something, right?
You got to yell. Just yell about something. You got to. That's your thing.
You know, going into this stretch, Gordon, I was really concerned about how well this Knicks team was going to do, especially knowing that Christmas Day, they have a game against the Philadelphia 76ers, which is, you know, listen, they're the top team in the Atlantic. So now I'm looking at this a little differently. I think they have a pretty good shot at playing well against the Sixers. But, you know, Embiid is just such a dominant center.
Right.
He is so dominant. And, you know, the Philly, even though I know some folks who are Philly fans, they're not real happy with, you know, the beard down there and some of the other you know, players they have. And they're a little concerned about Doc Rivers. But they're still a tough team to beat. So if the Knicks can show me, they would show me something if they could be competitive and win against Philadelphia, especially on Christmas Day when everybody's watching. Because, you know, as a Knicks fan, Gordon, which was nice last night, it's TNT. So the nation saw them just blow out the Warriors. I'm good with that because when the Knicks are struggling, they always seem to be on network television, right? They're either on ESPN, they're on TNT, they're on NBA TV. When they're struggling, the whole world watches them just implode.
And so Barkley loves it.
Oh, he does.
Oh, he even threw some shade last night.
Even though they won, he still got something to say.
Right. Oh, they're not going to get out of the first round. Whoop-de-doo. You
know? Thanks, Chuck. You know, but
and look, a lot of times he's not wrong.
No.
But
can you give him some credit?
For one night? Can you break character for one night?
Yeah. Would it kill you to do that?
Yeah, apparently would.
Yeah, apparently so.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll hear from Dan Olofsky, who joins the Michael K. Show every Wednesday in a couple of minutes. But, Gordon, I see you've been talking to some Giants folks, huh?
No, I just saw that there was a statement from the Giants about what went wrong with Correa.
Uh-huh.
And The statement is, while we were prohibited from disclosing confidential medical information, as Scott Boras stated publicly, there was a difference of opinion over the results of Carlos's physical examination. Hmm. We wish Carlos the best.
Yes,
so
we do.
So it seems like it was more of a scenario where the Giants were just a little uneasy and were still worried. It wasn't like that they were out completely, but that small crack of the door allowed Steve Cohen to bust in like the old Kool-Aid ad guy, you know? Oh, yeah!
Yeah, see? And obviously, let's spread it out even more, Gordon. Then Correa calls Lindor, who calls Cohen,
mm-hmm.
who says let's get in, and then of course since Brandon Nimmo and Correa have the same agent, and they just spent a lot of money with Brandon Nimmo, it was a deal made in heaven for a Met fan.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
That's the way it went out.
As long as the Mets don't go through the physical and find the same thing as the Giants.
That could be an issue.
That would be a problem.
That would be a problem. That would be a problem. Let's turn our attention to the National Football League. For that, we bring in our quarterback. He's Dan Orlovsky. Dan, Larry Hardesty, and Gordon Damer on the Michael K. Show. Welcome, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Thank you. Dan, everybody wants to talk about Zach Wilson. For me, here's the interesting thing, Dan, and I want your opinion on this. It looks like he is so comfortable playing backyard football. Okay, go down to the tree, make a left, go over to that bush, and I'll hit you as you go towards the fence. Shouldn't they have worked with him so that he could be either more confident and more fundamental in what he needs to work on, or do they need to adjust their scheme to make it more comfortable for him?
Yeah, so there's two kinds of quarterbacks, really. There's thinkers and there's creators, you know, and Zach has always had, even at BYU, he's had the talent to be a creator, and that's that whole backyard, run to the tree, like we'll find a way to get a completion. And that's why you see some of the plays of this past weekend. But you can't be great in the NFL unless you are a little bit of both. Like, Patrick Mahomes is a creator, but he's an incredible thinker. Josh Allen, creator, incredible thinker. A guy that's a thinker is a player like Derek Carr. He's a thinker, but he's got the capability of being a little bit of a creator at times. Right now, all Zach is, and even that's not consistent, is a creator. And his ability or inability to not be this thinking, efficient quarterback is the great flaw. And he's a thrower right now instead of a quarterback. And while that talent is appealing, even with that, still way too many misses. And still way too many, like, and this is not meant to be disrespectful. I don't know how well he thinks. Like, he can't right now. It's either he can't think and process the information, or he's so mentally broken from what has happened over the past 2 years, he's just not able to get past that mental block right now.
Dan, when you're saying about the processing, is that something that a quarterback at the NFL level can get better at?
Or totally. Totally.
You can, okay.
Totally, because that's information, and that's how well you can. I always say this. One of my complaints when I got into this business was everyone would say, well, this quarterback could process. And I always wanted people to turn to that person, well, what the heck does that mean? So processing for a quarterback means I've got my play. So what is the problem with this play? Every play has a problem that I have to be able to figure out. Sometimes it's a run game. Sometimes it's a protection. Whatever. That play is a problem, and I have to know the answer. And then every play that I has an opportunity. There's an opportunity for me to do something here with this play. Again, whether it's the run game or a pass game. And then what defense is ideal for me to make that opportunity? And then you flip it and go, well, what's the defense? So the defense, there's a problem here. Like, oh, there's a zone deep, whatever. There's a problem presented. Well, what's the answer? And then the same, there's an opportunity from the defense. That's what processing is for a quarterback, right? And Zach struggles with that. Like, I'll take everybody. You guys watch the game, I would imagine, right?
Yes. Of course.
Okay. Second pass of the game. First pass of the game, he throws the deep ball on the left sideline to Garrett Wilson. It's a one-on-one matchup. Don't mind it at all. Second pass of the game is when on third down, he throws a slant down to the right sideline to Denzel Mims. That ball versus that defense should go to Garrett Wilson 100 out of 100 times. Any fundamental and or foundational teaching and or rule, given what the offensive play call was and what the defense was, should have that ball be thrown to Garrett Wilson 100 out of 100. And honestly, Garrett Wilson might score a touchdown. It might go for 98 yards. So that play right there tells me, dude, you either can't figure out what's happening or you're so mentally just stuck that we can't get to the point of asking the question of can you?
Wow. This Gangrene Report on 98.7 ESPN is driven by Ramsey Mazda. So, Dan, how do you fix him?
Yeah, I mean, he first of all, it's hard to do it in season with everything that's going on. Short week, aggressive defense for Jacksonville. So that's a very difficult question to sit there and say it can be done this year. You got to rebuild him in the offseason if he's going to be a part of your organization. You got to figure out where is the mental issue. Confidence is going to have to be rebuilt. I don't know if he's made of the right stuff for New York City. I don't know. And that's a reality. And I've never experienced it, but I've talked to the quarterbacks, and you guys can figure out who I've talked to, guys that played there recently that were young, high draft picks. And they say it's hard. It's hard. And even though you've been exposed a lot, it may not be enough. And I don't know if he's made. I can't sit there and say he is or isn't. And if he is, you got to rebuild his confidence, and you got to really restart the baseline of teaching and the demand of him becoming more committed to the quarterbacking rather than the throwing or the playmaking improvisation of the position.
Now, of course, we're talking so much about Zach Wilson. Jet fans get to go down what could have been as they face off against the Jaguars this week on Thursday night. And Trevor Lawrence, it seems like the light has certainly connected here, and then the light has gone on for him here in year two. What have you seen different from Trevor Lawrence at this point, year two, from where he was a year ago?
Coaching matters. Doug Peterson and Press Taylor, their play caller, their influence. You know, so I called the Jaguars game in London versus the Broncos, and just having a conversation with Doug Peterson, and he was really direct on how important it was to encourage him and uplift him and challenge him as a player while also not creating a sliver of doubt of whether you can or can't do it, right? Just instilling that in him, and I think that's been huge. He has gotten the ball out of his hands very quickly. You know, their offense is, we're going to get the ball out. We're going to get it out. We're going to get RPOs. We're going to get balls to the perimeter, quick game, get completions for you. You're going to see and feel the ball come out of your hand for completions. And then that has built in-game confidence of playmaking and creativity and fearlessness with the football. And it's really impressive to watch.
Hey, Dan, one more thing on Zach Wilson before we move on with the Gangrene Report driven by Ramsey Mazda. It's the experience of driving a new Mazda and buying a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely, choose Ramsey Mazda. In this scenario, is it best for the Jets to continue to start Zach Wilson this year? Or if Mike White is available, should they sit him again? Go ahead.
Was your question, it's best to play Zach?
Yes. Should they play Zach or should they sit him again and go back with Mike White if Mike White is healthy?
Yeah, I mean, a lot depends on how he plays tomorrow night. I got into this with Anthony Beck on Twitter because Anthony's point was, you know, like if you play him, he's the guy for the next 3 weeks no matter what. And, you know, hopefully he gives you your best chance to win and you got to figure out some stuff for next year. And I said, I get that. That's a fair point. But, gosh, that's a tough sell to your locker room if they all feel like the other guy gives you a better chance. And I'm not saying Mike White was lighting it up, but it's just a tough sell. I don't know that, like, tomorrow night's got to be a big determining factor on if Zach is the guy in 2 weeks or not. And unless Zach plays markedly better, I feel like you play Mike. But then the reality is this. If you do that, Zach Wilson's career is likely over as a New York Jet.
Yeah, because, I mean, aren't you saying at that point you're trying to do something in the next 3 weeks that's going to make you forget about the previous 21 or 20 weeks or whatever it is? Like, isn't that putting more pressure on him in a spot where he's already kind of fragile?
Yes, but it's a very fine line with your locker room. And especially they're they've lost three games this year when they've given up one touchdown total as a defense in those three games. Not one touchdown a game, one touchdown total. So that's really hard to sit here and keep running out a guy that the defense is sitting there going, you're kidding me, you know, and you're a playoff caliber football team.
Dan, let's switch and talk about the New York Giants. They are likely going to the postseason. What has been the difference in what you've seen from Daniel Jones this year than in previous years?
He hasn't been the reason they lost games. You know, he has not given crucial mistakes or the ball away at crucial moments, and he hasn't really panicked with the football. And then over the last couple weeks, he started to make some plays with the football. And I don't know if there's been a person on TV, I don't want to use the word harsh, but more direct about Daniel Jones than I, probably me. Dak Prescott is Daniel Jones for me, and I feel he's played really good football over the past couple of weeks. Very impressive. It's not gaudy. It's not flashy, but he's executing exactly what they're asking him to do at a very high level, not hurting the football team. He's making crucial, clutch, tough plays when they're there. I've got to give him his credit.
Hey, Dan, I mean, we started the season and spent for a good portion of the season asking, you know, do the Giants, do they keep Daniel Jones? Is he the quarterback moving forward? Given how he's played this year, do you think that other teams, I mean, he's going to be a free agent after the year, and the free agent market, you know, Sam Darnold, it's Baker Mayfield. Do you think that there's other teams out there that would have interest in Daniel Jones?
Absolutely. I mean, Mitchell Trubisky got $14 million from the Steelers this year. So, always looking for good quarterback play. Geno Smith, you know, with the Seattle Seahawks. I will say this. I don't know if let me put it this way. Daniel Jones should be a New York Giant next year. Now, do I think that it's Daniel Jones by himself? I'm not there yet. But he's earned the right, if he wants to be a quarterback for the New York Giants next year. The quarterback for the future, that's still tough for me to absolutely commit to, but I would have never said that 4 months ago. And he's deserved to be a quarterback on their football team next year. And unless someone comes and takes his job, they're starter.
Dan, I'm just curious. You mentioned Dak Prescott a moment ago. What is it about him that he seems to be throwing more interceptions than he has previously? Is there something with the O-line? Is he just not back? Is he not healthy? What are you seeing from him in his decision-making that's causing these turnovers that he's committing?
Yeah, trying to do too much, force the football. He's thrown 11 interceptions, and 9 of them are versus zone coverage. So quarterbacks, when you throw versus zone coverage and interceptions happen, it's really like one of two or three things. You got fooled by the defense. Pressure forced you to make a decision because you wanted to, or you tried to force a football into a certain window or a certain kind of vacancy. And that's really what's happening, is he is forcing the football. Now, they don't protect well. They're a poor pass protection unit. And of those 9 interceptions, how about this? He's thrown 7 interceptions inside his own 40-yard line. Mm. So not only is he throwing interceptions, but he's throwing them in places where he's really putting his defense in a tough spot as well.
Hey, Dan, one last one from me. The Jalen Hurts injury, how big of a factor do you think that's going to be? Obviously not just for this week, but, you know, as we get closer to the playoffs.
I think it's enormous. I think it's huge. I mean, two things. One, the big growth in their pass game this year has been his throwing the football down the field really well. So what does that shoulder injury do to that? You know, when you've got to throw a ball 50 yards down the field and put it exactly where it needs to be. Second thing is, one of the reasons why he's a great player and their offense is so good is his ability to run the football. Are they going to be comfortable in 3 or 4 weeks with him coming off of a shoulder injury, calling as many quarterback runs as they do? I mean, he carried the ball 17 times against the Chicago Bears. So if they're not comfortable doing that, they're a lesser team. They're a lesser offense, and he's a lesser impact player. So I think it's huge.
Dan Orlovsky, thanks for taking a couple of minutes with us, and best of luck as you continue on what you're doing and the great work that you do for us, and happy holidays to you and your family. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you as well.
All right, that's Dan Orlovsky. And Gordon, I tell you, he is he does a great job in analyzing quarterbacks for you. But what he said about Zach Wilson,
yeah,
I mean, the question jumps to your mind: how do you not see that in your evaluation?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, and you were, it's not like you got into this, you know, the scouting season. I mean, we knew all season the Jets were going to be, you know, drafting very high. It was a very big quarterback draft that year. And it definitely feels like they got it wrong. I mean, there's no other way about it.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Gordon, I got to say, we've talked about Brian Daboll and the great job he's done with this team. When you consider the inconsistency, I'm not going to say lack of receivers because I don't want to disrespect those guys, but the inconsistency of receivers that you can build a relationship with, that quarterbacks depend on for their receivers, I think Daniel Jones has done a tremendous job. And Brian Daboll, that might be his biggest coaching job of the year, is getting, what, as Dan Orlovsky said, getting Daniel Jones not only to not beat himself, but to actually get to the point where he makes plays with his feet and his hands.
Yeah, I mean, the lack of weapons is ridiculous. And, you know, I could understand if Daniel Jones is like, you know what, I got to go someplace where I actually have some options wide receiver. You know, it's all well and good we have Saquon Barkley, but that's not a whole lot. And, I mean, there were games this year where somebody would catch a pass, you'd be like, who was that? and this would, you would think, if there was ever going to be a time where he was going to force things, right? Contract year, team is winning some games, but... You know, the slide is coming. All of a sudden, the playoffs are not a guarantee. But he has been able to get the job done, so good for him. And I would expect that the Giants are not going to let Daniel Jones get away. But if they ever did have some doubts, I could definitely see another team taking a shot. And it feels like with Giant fans, like, well, you know what, Daniel Jones has done a good job. We'll sign him for like a year or 2 years. No, you're going to have to make some sort of a commitment to him. I don't think it can just be like a 2-year deal at like just barely over, you know, minimum money. You're going to have to make an actual financial investment to say that this is our guy, at least for next season. Now, who knows? Maybe you get into the draft and you draft a quarterback for the long term, but I think you got to make a commitment to the guy. He's earned it.
Now, the next question for them is, what did they do about Saquon Barkley?
If it's me, I'm letting them walk. It's great of a season as the Giants are having. This is starting from scratch, man. And I'm not, you know, even to franchise them, I think it's like $10 million. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking $10 million out of my sizable cap space this year to sign a running back that even this year has not been able to really stay healthy. He's been great and all, but... He's had injuries. He's getting older. Signing contracts, signing running back contracts, second time around, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, especially when you're not, you know, they're not anywhere close to really winning. It's great that they're going to make the playoffs, but they got a long way to go, man. Sinking a ton of money into running back does not make a whole lot of sense.
And it's, you know, it's tough because he's been your offense.
He has been your offense. But you've seen that when that's all you got.
It's not much.
It's easier to take it away. So it would be nice if, you know, Giants can go out and they had a whole bunch of draft picks and they would land a bunch of draft, you know. But they have a lot of work to do. I mean, think about, run down the list of keepers that you would say are going to be on the Giants when they are, you know, turn the corner and they're back in the playoffs and a threat to win a playoff game again.
We'd be done in a minute.
It would not be a long list. Yeah, there's a lot of work. And that speaks to, like, if you're saying that Brian Daboll has done this amazing job this year, what you're also kind of saying is that this team is not all that talented. Now, if you think that this team is all that talented, then you're really saying that Brian Daboll hasn't done a great job.
He's done a great job. No, he's done a great job.
Absolutely. I completely 100% agree. He's the coach.
He's done a great job. It's not even close. That's the Big Blue Report, brought to you by Two by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pico designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 7 area locations. Off to the phones we go before we turn our attention to ENN. Anthony Pusick, the coach, is in for Peter Rosenberg. Oh, it's going to be a good ENN tonight. 1-800-919-3776. Ira's in Staten Island. Ira, you're up on the Michael Kay Show.
Hey, Larry, Gordon, happy holidays. Nice to talk to you, gentlemen.
Same to you.
And
nice report by Dan, but, you know, of course he knows more football than I'll ever know. But, Larry, you and I have discussed it so many times. Mm-hmm. If I were a fly in the room during the draft process, all coaches think that they could take something and fit them into what they want them to be. And it just, they guess wrong because he doesn't fit the system, what they run, and they're not going to change the system to fit him. So I think his days are numbered. But with that said, I need him to win one more game tomorrow night so I could hopefully get down to South Beach and maybe put a little scare into Gordon's hopes for the playoffs.
I'm already terrified. I'm already like the second hour of Psycho terrified of that game.
I don't think you're worried at all if we don't win tomorrow night. But I do believe that Patrick will lose Saturday to Cincinnati. I think if the Jets, they're back, listen, they put their backs against the wall. Somehow, I don't care what it takes, they have to win this game tomorrow night to keep this going. And I think they come back, and I got news for you. I think Mike White starts in Seattle, and then I think Mike White goes down to Miami. We'll see where it is. But for tomorrow night's game, I mean, the weather is going to be horrendous according to this forecast. So unless something very strange happens, this has the makings of a 10-7, 13-6 type of ball game. And you know what? All bets are off with the weather that's coming in. Hopefully it's going to be a defensive battle. And if it does turn into that, if the defense could play a full 60 minutes instead of 58 minutes, I think they'll have a shot to win this game.
All right, Ira, thanks for the phone call and happy holidays to you and your family as well. Gordon, I'm hearing all this rain and wind and warm temperatures and all this other stuff. And once again, it comes down to the Jet defense. And listen, you heard what Orlovsky said. They lost three games. They gave up a touchdown, not in every game, over a couple of games.
Yeah.
And they still didn't win those games. I mean, I don't know if the defense is even going to be enough with Zach Wilson there, because obviously you're going to stack the box. Everybody stacks the box against the Jets and dares you to throw. And Jacksonville's no different.
The over-under tomorrow night is 37.5.
Oh, stop it. No way. Under.
All right. Playing a little card sharks. Lower.
Yeah, lower. Yeah. Absolutely. With that rain and weather, have you seen the Jet offense?
I don't know. I just feel like the Jets have a surprise up their sleeve. I don't know. And
Mike White's going to play.
No, not that. And, you know, it's funny to me. People are like, well, you know, if the Jets are out, they have to use those games to find out about Zach Wilson. Don't you kind of have to find, like, don't you already know about Zach Wilson? Shouldn't you be using those games to find out about Mike White?
But see, I think they already have an opinion about Mike White.
But how can they have an opinion on Mike White through eight games, but don't have an opinion on Zach Wilson after 21?
Because he was the second overall pick, and they really want to prove that they were right.
But that's telling you, you already know.
You know, they really want to think, well, we can fix it, we can fix it, we can fix it, we can do something. Uh-huh. We know we can fix it, we can try.
Please.
Listen, here's all you need to know.
Please do that. Have him start every game, including that game in Miami. Please.
Here's all you need to know. Strebler was on this team.
We're a week away from getting those calls, Larry. We're a week away. With Friday, we'll get those calls.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.